Sid and Friends in the Morning.
77 WABC.
Tell you what, to start your pants over a holiday right, here's how you do it. You meet me and hopefully some others, although I don't care if I'm alone, I mean that, on the corner of 116th and Broadway by the Lowe Library at 12:30 this afternoon. I'm going to go out there and show these Jewish students that there is solidarity, that we do care, and that we're not going to allow these lowlife animals who have had free reign to take over our streets. Because, as the mayor says, can't do nothing about it. We're going to try to do something about it. So, and I've already got Congressman Anthony D'Esposito. That's a big deal. He's going to be coming. I know Maria Sliwa, Curtis's sister, who I love. She's great. She's going to send out a whole bunch of material to media and other folks. And whether it's just me and Anthony or 100 people, it doesn't matter. Passover starts tonight, and we're going to show we care. Rich Lowry is the editor of the National Review. He's on this show every Monday. You guys love him. So do I. NBC, Politico, he's done it all. And here he is after being on vacation last week. Rich, it's great to have you back. I missed you. How are you, buddy?
Good, Sid. You know, the first person who's going to buy your Eric Adams t-shirt is me.
I love it. See, people don't realize this because, you know, you speak mostly about national subjects and you're a big national name. You are, to your credit, but you do live in New York City. You've seen all this, and I laid it out for you. The illegal crisis, bail reform, what's going on at Columbia, all these things. And the answer is always the same. I'm sorry. Yeah. I hate it, but I can't do nothing about it.
Yeah, charismatic guy, but total flake and completely ineffectual. It's been a huge disappointment.
Huge. So I'm going to make my way to Columbia this afternoon. I may be alone. Doesn't matter. It's not going to be embarrassing for me. I don't care because my heart's in the right place. But, you know, look, we need to get more students and more Jews out there supporting themselves. You know, the rabbi meant well, and initially I actually agreed with him, send these students home. But the truth is, you can't do that. If you don't fight back, it's going to get worse, no?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I'm totally with you. I don't believe in literal fighting, but showing the support, absolutely. The one great thing that's happened is that big rally in Washington, D.C. But I think, you know.
Oh, my God, Jews, that feels like 100 years ago.
Yeah, yeah. But Jews and supporters of people of the Jewish faith and of Israel, I think someone should say, you know, we're going to fill Madison Square Garden on a certain night, you know, rent it out, do a huge statement kind of rally. It requires some organization, but it's Madison Square Garden, sort of the center of New York, and I think that would be a huge statement. But it's important to be out there. I'm going to text as soon as we're off to try to get one of our reporters up there to cover it. This is a disgrace. Columbia, you know, the ultimate problem is Columbia. They're trespassing. They're disrupting the entire campus, and they should be arrested. They arrested some of them on Thursday. Keep arresting them until there are no more to arrest. That's what they should do, and they should request the NYPD to be there yesterday.
I love the garden idea. In fact, I'd love to host that. I know that I had Larry Trump on the show a couple of days ago, and you know, the president, we'll get to him after the break, back in court today, but he was in Harlem last week. He's got some dates planned for other stuff, and the rumor is Trump is going to be at Madison Square Garden. That's going to be a huge, huge night.
Oh, yeah, right.
Yes, but I will tell you that, you know, Columbia, the mayor's excuse was that, hey, you know, it's private, I can't do anything, but Noam just told me that Yale University, where a young Jewish student got stabbed in the eye with one of those disgusting flags, now they have, they've got a ton of cops on Yale, also a private university, and they are threatening to arrest people and shut it down. How come they can do it and we can't?
I imagine, I haven't followed the Yale situation, I imagine Yale's requested it, and there's no reason that Columbia shouldn't be requesting it, and the mayor shouldn't be leaning on them to request it.
There you go. That does make a whole lot of sense. Okay, so let's throw you on hold. The president is back in court today. We went through week one. They got the jury done very quickly. Some thought it may take 2 to 3 weeks to get it done. It took 2 to 3 days. And opening arguments today. We may even get a witness up there with David Pecker. So let's take a short break. When we get back, we'll talk about President Trump with one of the best in the business, my friend Rich Lowry, right here on Sid and Friends in the Morning.
When will we fall?
Hi, it's Lou Dobbs for Priority Gold, America's precious metals dealer. These are volatile times with high inflation, soaring debt, wars on multiple continents, and rising financial stress. Central banks are buying gold to diversify their reserves, so are many Americans. Call Priority Gold and find out how precious metals can help you diversify your portfolio. They're highly rated and happy to help. Call 1-866-303-6357 or get a free gold guide at PriorityGoldGuide.com. That's PriorityGoldGuide.com.
This is Sid and Friends in the Morning.
77 WABC.
Classic 802 on your Monday morning. My Instagram, getting a ton of messages from folks that are saying they're going to see me at 12:30 today. I don't know if they'll be there or not, but it's very, very nice. If you've not been listening, decided, really, it was Michael Rappaport who brought it up to me yesterday, and he said, what about going up to Columbia? And I figured today's the perfect day. Passover starts tonight. What better day to show these Jewish students solidarity? So decided to go today, with or without Michael. Congressman Anthony D'Esposito out of Long Island joined me at 6:45 this morning, and he's coming with me. I tell you, Curtis is so valuable because not only is he a great radio host on his own and with me, but he helps set up all these things with me. And he told me to be at the corner of 116 and Broadway by the Lowe Library. In fact, I'm going to call Commissioner Caban here any second and tell him, make sure that I've got that corner for myself. Corner 116 and Broadway.
Make sure I've got That's right.
I don't want any of these animals telling me, or these cops telling me, I can't stand there.
Right.
Ain't going to happen.
All right.
That's it.
He'll say yes. That's the funny part to me.
Damn right he's going to say
yes.
He's going to
say yes.
What are you, nuts?
What are the cops?
Of course he's going to say yes.
The cops are going to push people off a corner.
Yes.
Because they're going to say, this is the Sid Rosenberg corner.
That's it. That's it. Well, okay. If they don't do it, I'm still going to stand there. So.
Right. That's cool.
That's it. But anyway.
Let
me go back to Rich Lowry. Rich, today happens to be day one, week two for Trump. But day one of the opening arguments, and we have found out that it looks like former National Enquirer head David Pecker, that's right, that's his name, David Pecker is going to be the first witness. What are your thoughts on this absolute circus?
It's ridiculous. And the underlying theory, I mean, it's ridiculous at so many levels, but let's just go to the big one. Bragg's underlying theory is that this was so-called election interference, right? Trump influenced the outcome of the election by hiding this payment to Stormy Daniels. But the booking of this happened in 2017. So how does something, a payment to Michael Cohen in 2017 that's a monthly legal retainer instead of a lump sum loan reimbursement in 2017 affect the outcome of an election that happened in November 2016? Now, you can argue, okay, that the payment to Stormy Daniels affected the outcome of the election prior to the election, but that's not illegal, and that's not what the case is about. So it's just crazy, and I think there's some chance, more maybe than I would have thought when we've talked in the past about this one. I'm just like, he's getting convicted. It's the New York legal system. He's getting convicted. But there could well, you know, I wouldn't say a majority chance, but maybe 20-30% chance that there is one or two jurors on that panel who are like, no way. This is BS. We're just not doing it. And you have listeners in Manhattan, right? So there's a chance there are one or two of those type of people on that jury. Yeah. And there's a chance it also could get busted down to what it should be if you're going to actually charge this, which is a misdemeanor. And then you have a big legal problem because the statute of limitations has expired on the misdemeanor. So the whole thing is crazy. It's a circus. There's no – you shouldn't be sitting there. They're mocking him for falling asleep. I'd sleep during the whole thing, right? I'd recharge during this whole trial because it's so ridiculous and then go do my campaigning, which I'm supposed to be doing.
You know, all you need is one. And you get yourself maybe a hung jury or, you know, and I'm sure that there are people out there that listen up. The juror question number 12 of the 42 questions was directed right at my listeners. So we'll see. Look, like you said, it is the worst case that's ever been seen. Alan Dershowitz said, I've been doing this for 60 years. I've never seen a more pathetic case. Joe Tacopina, Arthur Idala, you name the big name attorney, they come on this show, and none of them can believe this ended up in court. I mean, again, Alvin Bragg didn't want to do this until the progressive left talked him into it. So, still a much better chance, though he does lose.
Didn't want to do it.
Yeah,
his predecessor didn't want to do it. The feds didn't want to do it.
Yeah, Vance,
it's a dog crap case.
It is a dog crap case, and again, consider their the highlights. Their big time witnesses, a felonious lawyer, Michael Cohen. And a filthy porn star, Stormy Daniels. And I'm not against porn stars, by the way. I'm really not. No, I'm not. Listen, it's fine. You know, it's good entertainment. But she happens to be a real low-class lady. Bottom line, Stormy Daniels is low-class. No?
Yeah. So, I mean, Cohen is the big problem, right? Because he's the star witness. And he's perjured himself repeatedly. And the piece that Bragg doesn't have that we're aware of, maybe he's going to shock the world by producing it, it's just in hiding the ball, is Trump himself knowing about or blessing the specific arrangement of this repayment. And again, we're talking about a repayment. It's a bookkeeping matter, right? It's even worse than the civil fraud case on his business. There are no victims in that one. There are absolutely no victims in this
one.
Michael Cohen got paid back double what he paid because he was going to pay taxes on it. So it wasn't even to evade taxes. It's crazy.
And yet with all that, according to Fox News now, this is Fox News, not Joe and Miko or CNN, Trump's lead is losing ground. Last look, he's now up just 2 points. 46-44 over Biden. So Biden tightened the race. After last week, Biden talking about his uncle being eaten by cannibals, a complete lie. I guess Michael Douglas appearing on CNN telling everybody that Joe Biden is sharp as a tack must have gone a long way because Biden tightened the race.
Yeah, well, I think the fact is neither of these guys are popular. So if it's a race about Biden, Biden's going to lose. If it's a race about Trump, Trump's going to lose. And it's been more about Trump, but, you know, at least more, there's been more attention on Trump the last month or so. Maybe that accounts for it. Maybe it's just Democrats coming home. Maybe it's kind of just natural variation in the polls. So Trump in that NBC poll has been pretty much at 46 the whole time, but he could win at 46 or 47. But if you're an incumbent president at 44, you know, even if it's only 2 points behind your challenger, that's pathetic. And that's why I still think, you know, it's kind of a coin flip, but I'd favor Trump.
Last one. I know you're pro-Ukraine. That's fine. I am so vehemently against it, and this last bill really pissed me off. $60 billion. That is ridiculous. Israel got about $20 billion, and the border here got nothing. And I know, I get it, that some of that money comes back to the United States, about $25 billion eventually. Who knows if this crook Zelensky, if you ever get that money back anyway. But, you know, the fact that they got, you know, 70% of the money in this bill and nothing went to this border really pisses me off. And it starts to make me believe that maybe Marjorie Taylor Greene is right about my friend Mike Johnson.
I disagree with you on this one. I obviously, I'm a border hawk as much as you are. I'd love just to be shut down tomorrow and all the Trump policies reinstated. But you're just not going to get it out of Biden. So the question is, do you throw Ukraine to the wolves because you're not going to get Biden to take?
Wait a second. Throwing Ukraine to the wolves, Rich, would be $20 billion. Not $60 billion. That's not throwing Ukraine to the wolves. That's giving Ukraine oral. That's bending over backwards. We didn't throw it to the wolves.
It's a major war with this huge power to its east trying to crush it. And the thing is that my view is, let's say, just we say no more for Ukraine. And they run out of artillery and Russia just crushes Ukraine. Then it's not as though we're going to say, oh, okay, you can take Poland next in the Baltics. We're going to give a lot of aid to those states. So it would be expensive either way, and I think it's better to try to get Ukraine to hold the line and get a peace deal here somewhere. Eventually the Russians will be exhausted. But there's no doubt it's expensive, you know, and it's depleting our stocks. Those are real costs to this thing. But also, Johnson, I just think shooting another speaker in the head, it would be very bad.
No, I do too. I happen to like Mike. I had the opportunity to spend time with Mike when I went to the State of the Union and got kicked out. 2 hours before that, the Esposito, when the guys invited Danielle and I to a party that the speaker threw right downstairs by his office, and had the chance to talk to Mike quite a bit. And I like him a lot. And I think Marjorie Taylor Greene is hurts us. And I love the fact that she's pro-Trump, and I love a lot of her stance is, but she's hurting us with the speaker. So when I said that to you, I wasn't really being serious.
Yeah, no, I understand. I think where Johnson could be screwed, I think he'll probably survive this challenge because Democrats will support him, which is kind of a bizarre thing. But after the election, when they have a leadership election in the House caucus, that's where I think Johnson could get toppled.
What time is your guy or gal showing up on 116th and Broadway today?
I think it would be 12:30.
That's not I'm going to be there. So are they going to meet me there?
I'm going to text my colleague, and then I'll put you together via text so he can look for you.
God, I love you. Well, happy Passover, Rich Lowry, and another amazing appearance. Thank you.
Family. Enjoy it.
Thank you, buddy. There he is, the editor of the National Review and a great Monday morning guest on this show, Rich Lowry.